हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So we're reading from the 10th canto, chapter 33, text 19. Today's Sarat Punima, and it's also the first day of Kartik. I humbly request the blessings of the Vaishnavas that I may speak appropriately on these high topics.
Kritva
tavantam atmanam, kritva tavantam atmanam yavatir gopa yoshita, yavatir gopa yoshita reme sa Bhagavans Tabir, Remesa Bhagavans Tabir, Atmaramo Api Lilaya, Atmaramo Pililaya, Kritva Tavantam Atmanam. Yavatir Gopayoshita, Remesa Bhagavamstabhi, Atmaramo Pililaya, Ritva Tavantam Atmanam, Yavatir Gopayoshita, Emesa Bhagavam Stavi, Atma Ramo Pililaya.
Kritva
making. Tavantam. Expanded that many times. Atmanam. Himself. Kyavati. As many as. Gopayoshitaha. Kahar women. Reme. Enjoyed. Saha. He. Bhagavam. The Supreme Lord. Tabhi. With them. Atma Arama. Self-satisfied. Api. Although. Lilaya. As a pastime. Translation. Expanding himself as many times as there were cowherd women to associate with, the Supreme Lord, though self-satisfied, playfully enjoyed their company. Responsibly, please. Expanding himself as many times as there were cowherd women to associate with, the Supreme Lord, those self-satisfied playfully enjoyed their company. Purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As Srila Viswanath Chakravarti points out, it has already been explained that Lord Krishna is eternally free from all material desire, perfect on the platform of spiritual self-satisfaction. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vitale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kalamine Namaste Sarasvati Namigora Vani Kucharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Pastor Dhamasitari. So Srila Prabhupada, he explains in the Nectar of Devotion as one of the angas of Bhakti, a performance of Kartik Vrat. And it is explained there that Krishna, he may easily give liberation, or he may even give like material happiness, but he, you know, very rarely he gives pure devotional service unto him. But it is someone who performs a little devotional service during the month of Kartik, after he has performed that service, he will not desire anything else apart from serving the Lord. Is this okay? Is it close enough? The mic close enough? So it is an opportunity for the devotees. It says that unless a devotee is very serious about spiritual life, he will not get devotional service. But even those devotees who are not serious, if they perform some devotional service during the month of Kartik, they will get devotional service. They will get pure devotional service. So it's like Prabhupada will explain, it's like a transcendental sale. You know, in the sale you can get something very costly, you can get it very cheap, right? You know, in the West, sometimes they open the shops at 5 o'clock in the morning. People are queuing up to get the first things. So in the same way, Kartik, we can actually, with a little performance, with a little endeavor, then we can get so much benefit. Of course, that doesn't mean that we don't have to make any endeavors, right? We should actually take advantage, and the devotees generally during the month of Kartik, they perform some extra service, some extra vrat, some extra austerity. They do, you know, something extra. So it's good to take some vows during the month of Kartik. And Krishna would surely appreciate and acknowledge that endeavor performed by the devotee. So during this, today actually being the first day, is also Sarat Punima, which is particularly special because on this night the moon is very, very auspicious. It's the first full moon of the autumn season. And it's giving blessings. Actually in Vrindavan, the Vrishvasis, they leave pots of sweet rice outside, you know, so that the Lord, Srimati Radhanani, Rama and Krishna, they enjoy that sweet rice, and in the morning it's like amrit, it's very tasty. So today is also Lakshmi Puja. You probably noticed we were yesterday in Krishnanagar, and it's a whole, they're selling all these forms of Lakshmi. Actually, as far as I know, the way they observe is they stay up all night. And on this night, they say that Lakshmi, she goes around and seeing who is awake. And whoever is awake, she gives special blessings. But of course, for us, our main concern with this night is that on this night, Krishna, he decided that it was a very good night for a good dance. And the gopis had actually been prayed to the Lord. They have been performing the vrat to have him as her husband. And the Lord decided to fulfill their desire on this particular night. So he went to Keshigat, to Vansivat actually, and he started to play on his flute. And while he was playing on his flute, the gopis, they all left all engagements that they had and they ran towards Krishna, impelled with an intense desire to please him. Even though they have been performed this vrat to have him as their husband, this was done for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. There was no like a selfish motivation. Again, in the Nectar of Devotion, it is described the glories of devotional service, how devotional service, or those in devotional service, they derive even the concept of liberation, and how devotional service is so transcendentally strong and powerful that it attracts even Krishna. So those devotees who are actually in the platform of pure devotional service, they don't want anything from the Lord. Their service is completely selfless. There is no exchange in the sense that there is no expectation. So this is the position of the pure devotees. But even the pure devotees, within the pure devotees, there are also different levels. And it is explained that the topmost devotees are those devotees who reside in Vrindavan, the bridge passes. Because even the devotees who reside in Vaikuntha, even though they have also attained prema, still their love is tinged with a sense of majesty, of awe and reverence that interfere with their intimacy in their dealings with the Lord. But it says that the devotees in Vraj, there is no sense, even though they may know that Krishna is God, that Krishna is within the heart of everyone, they forget. Their love is so intense that they forget. There was one time that the elder brother of Nanda Maharaj, Upananda, they were in the assembly hall in Vrindavan, and he was telling Nanda Maharaj, you should not chastise your son. Yeah? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, you shouldn't chastise him. And Nanda Maharaj was saying, he can be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, he cannot control his senses. He's always stealing butter. He lies, he tells lies. And whenever there is a storm, he's so frightened, he jumps into our bed. So how could he be the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And then all the devotees there, as they were listening to Nanda Maharaj, hearing all these pastimes, they became absorbed in the mellow of Vatsalya, and they forgot that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the same way, in this way, the devotees in Vrindavan, they have this intimate relationship with the Lord. And the most intimate of all of them is that of the gopis. The gopis, they are actually, their love for Krishna is the most intimate, the most pure. So sometimes people tend to see to this pastime of the rasa dance in a very like mundane way, without understanding that these pastimes are not actually ordinary. Krishna is not ordinary, and the gopis are not ordinary ladies. and the love is completely pure, without any tinge of any like material, mundane sex desire. It's completely pure. So on this night, Krishna was playing his flute, and as he was playing his flute, all the ladies, even though they were engaged in so many household activities, they were actually married ladies. So they left their homes, they left everything behind. Even though their relatives, they were trying to stop them, they were running. Some of them, it's explained that they couldn't leave. They couldn't leave because it is explained by the acharyas, they still have some material desire, something was holding them back. But it is explained that even though they couldn't go, they remained in their houses and they were so absorbed in thoughts of Krishna that they became purified. And they gave her their material bodies, or they gave her the material mentality. So this is important for us to understand, and it's a point that is explained by Narada Muni in the Bhagavatam, that actually meditating on Krishna, fixing the mind on Krishna, by doing this, we can become free from all material contaminations. This is the essence of sadhana bhakti, actually, is to fix the mind on Krishna somehow or another. Narada Muni, he even gives the example of Sishupal and Kamsa, who were absorbed in thoughts of Krishna in a negative way, but because they were absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, even then, they still became purified and attained liberation. So never mind those devotees who are absorbed in thoughts of Krishna in a favorable way, like the gopis. So anyway, they left home and they were going through the forest. And when they arrived where Krishna was, Krishna received them and said, "Oh," he said, "you know, you've come." He said, "What can I do for you?" And he began to say, "Well, you know, you shouldn't have left home. You know, it's very dangerous. And there is so many thieves, so many beasts. You know, and also your relatives, they may be very worried about you. So you should turn back and go back." You know, in this way, Krishna was kind of being very cold, you know, to their surrender. So the gopis were very silent there because they were very pure. And actually, all they have in their hearts is with love for Krishna. This is Krishna's, Prabhupada explains this in the Krishna book, that they were completely, their hearts have been given to Krishna. So when they arrived and Krishna was being like this, you know, they were surprised. But Krishna then said, "Well, I know that you also come here because of your attraction for me. And this is very good. But still, I think that you should go back. You should go back." So I say, as the deity, the gopis were listening, they got courage to speak to Krishna. And they said, "You know, we've surrendered our lives to you. We've given everything up. We've left everything behind. Our families, our sons, you know. And we've taken shelter of you. And this is actually the highest religious principle. We're not doing anything wrong." So in this way, as they were speaking to him, Krishna became very pleased and he began to play around with them. He began to glorify the moon and he was sitting with them, playing. And as he was playing with them, then he disappeared. He left their association. And the gopis became immersed in thoughts of Krishna, in thoughts of separation. And again, this principle is a very important principle for us to understand as well, that love in separation is more intense than love in union. Because when the person leaves, then we have our love for the person becomes much more intense. We can even experience this in a material way. Right, that when someone leaves, then our feelings towards that person becomes more intensified. So anyway, as Krishna left, then they were looking for him everywhere, and they were imitating his pastimes. They were like, They were actually doing all the pastimes, like the killing of Putin, all the different pastimes. And they were kind of mad, you know, looking for him everywhere, asking the living entities where Krishna is, where is he hidden. And as they were looking, they found some footprints. And they recognized that these footprints were the footprints of Krishna, 19 marks. They could see all the marks. And they became very happy. And then they noticed that next to Krishna's footprints, there were some other footprints. So they immediately realized, and these footprints were a little smaller as well, with wonderful marks. So they immediately realized that Krishna had left, but he had not left alone. He had left with some other gopi. And actually it is explained here that when Sukadeva Goswami, when he was reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, he didn't mention the name of Radharani, he didn't mention the name of the Astasakis, because he had only very limited time to speak the Bhagavatam, and he didn't want his ecstatic emotions interfere with his recitation of the Bhagavatam. So sometimes, you know, it is the Bhagavatam is criticized because the name of Radharani doesn't appear. But then, at this point, when the gopis saw these footprints of this other person, they recite a verse, which is the verse that illustrates or refers to Srimati Radharani in the Bhagavatam. And they said that this gopi must have served Krishna better than anyone else. Otherwise, Krishna will not have left with her alone. So then, meanwhile, Krishna had actually left with Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani was feeling very, very happy to be alone with Krishna. And at one point, she said to him, "Well, I'm a little tired. Will you kindly carry me further?" And then Krishna said, "Yeah, no problem. I will carry you." And then when he was going to pick her up, he disappeared again. And Srimati Radharani was left completely despondent, because she had so much love for him, and she realized that she had become a little proud, that she was special. So Krishna had left, and she was crying. When the gopis saw her, when the gopis found her, even though they were absorbed in all kinds of feelings of separation, you know, like frustration of having been left by Krishna, when they saw Srimati Radharani, they realized that her emotions were much more intense than theirs. And they realized that this gopi, she is special. She's a special person. So then as they were doing, well, what do we do? They realized, they learned the lesson that the devotees should never become proud. We experienced this before, that we're doing something, and we think we become fooled by our activity. We think that we're good at it. And then what happens? Yeah, the ability, Krishna is the ability in man. I remember it used to happen to us in Sankirtan. We're doing book distribution. And then we had a good day, and I had good score, you distribute so many books. And everybody's asking you, "Oh, what were your lines?" And the moment that you become enamored by thinking that you are the doer, then the day after you're thinking, "Oh, today I'll use the same lines, I'll use the same thing." And you go out, you do exactly the same thing, and you fall flat in your face. Krishna just takes it away. This is like a daily event, actually, for the Sankirtan devotee. You know, that you go out, and as far as you're thinking that you're the doer, then nothing happens. Only when you depend on Krishna. So anyway, this is, of course, on a different level. But the principle also is the same, I found. The love of the gopis, they were only concerned with Krishna's happiness, with Krishna's pleasure. That's why they have their love is so special. And I found sometimes that the mood of the preacher is also the same, in the sense that, you know, the preacher will take so much austerity and will undergo so much difficulty in the preaching mission for Krishna's pleasure. This is Lord Chaitanya's movement. We come, and even though it may be difficult, we may find so many obstacles in our preaching activities, because it's pleasing to Krishna, we still persevere and we continue. So anyway, as the gopis were lamenting for, you know, having become proud, they knew they had become a little proud. Then they didn't know what to do. I said, what are we going to do? How are we going to attract Krishna? So they decided to sit down and glorify Krishna and do some sankirtan. They did this also by the bank of the river Yamuna. And as they were doing this, then Krishna appeared again. And then he appeared very, very beautiful. He has his, you know, yellow dhoti. He had a beautiful garland. He was extremely attractive. And then he started to also play with them and speak with them. And the gopis were like kind of repressing their anger. You know, they were feeling a little, you know, even though they were very happy that Krishna had returned to be with them, they were still thinking, you know, we've came, you left us, you know, why did you do this? So they asked Krishna, they put Krishna forward one question. And they said, there are three types of lovers. That is, the first type is the one who is always, who loves as far as there is some reciprocation. There is some exchange. They will give love as far as they are getting something in return. And he says the second type of lover is the lover who will love even though the beloved doesn't reciprocate. The example is given like the father and the son, or the mother and the son. Even though the son may be, you know, even though the father may be very loving, the son may not reciprocate, but still the father continues. And again, the same with the same mood with the preacher. The preacher, even though, you know, he may get some opposition, he still tries to bring the person up in Krishna consciousness. So he said, this is the second type of lover. And then is the third type. And the third type is the person who you give him love, and he remains indifferent. So there is three types. The first one is the only love when there is reciprocation. Second one is the one that will reciprocate anyway, even though he will love even though there is no reciprocation. And the third one is the one that remains indifferent. So could you please explain this to us? Of course, the deity, the gopis, they wanted Krishna to, you know, admit that he was not being fair with them. What kind of lover are you? So Krishna explained that the first type of lover, where there is some, the lover only love, where there is some exchange of love, this is not real love. This is not very good. This is it's like a business transaction. So there is no question of love there. He said, but the second type, this is very, very good. And he says that those who love, even though they don't get any love in return, he says they are following the path of true Dharma. Love, even though not getting love in return, Krishna says. And says, this is the third type. He says the one who is indifferent, he says there are different types. One type is the Atmarama. And the Atmarama, he is self-satisfied. So he remains indifferent. The second type is the person who has material desires, but he has them fulfilled. So he remains indifferent. And then the third and the fourth, they are actually very cruel. They're selfish people, and they don't reciprocate. So as he was speaking, and Krishna could understand the mind of the gopis, he said that actually, you know, the reason why I left you, it was because I wanted to increase your love for me. So I wanted to intensify your loving emotions for me. This is why I left you. So this is a valid reason for Krishna to leave them. The love of the gopis, was the love of the gopis needing increasing? The gopis were already, they had given everything to him, right? The love for him was unlimited. Yeah? Actually, Krishna then says that actually your love for me is so great that I can repay you. Yeah? It's a famous, that famous verse he speaks, Napariham. He says, why? He says, because you've left your families. You know, you left everything. I still maintain my family. I still got my mother. I still got my father. And haven't given them up. But you've given up everything for me. And also, he says that, you know, I reciprocate with everyone. But your love for me is exclusive. See? You only love me. So I will not be able to repay you. And as he was speaking like this, then he began the rasa dance in the most beautiful night of the year, tonight. So as he was, you know, performing this rasa dance with the gopis, it's explained that this rasa dance, it lasted for like a night of Lord Brahma. But the gopis didn't even notice this. They were so absorbed in dancing with Krishna. So, of course, there is very like elaborate descriptions given by the acharyas on this rasa dance. But we've been cautious not to enter into these pastimes without developing the proper adhikar, the proper qualification. And also it is explained that it has to be heard from the proper authority, from the proper person. So we're very fortunate actually, Prabhupada, he gave us a Krishna book right at the beginning. When I was told to give class on this verse, I told the person, no. You know, how can I speak on this? But then I remember that Prabhupada, he wrote the Krishna book right in the very early times. And he made the book, you know, for broad book distribution, distributed to everyone. So I read the Krishna book and then I read Bhagavatam. And I noticed that actually Prabhupada discovered all the points that are there in the Bhagavatam. So he gave us this. But he gave us in a way that we don't become, that we don't develop the wrong kind of mentality. Yeah? And first thing we need to understand is this, that these dealings between Radha and Krishna are not ordinary. They are no ordinary people. They are not the exchange. The difficulty comes in that they appear to be the same, right? Because, you know, the love between a young boy and a young girl is the same. They play around, they dance, they kiss each other. So the same thing Krishna does with the gopis. But Krishnadas Kaviraj, he explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita the difference between love and lust. And he says it's almost like iron and gold. Eh? Prema is like gold. And what is prema? It's that desire, or exclusive desire, to just give Krishna pleasure. Nothing else. Devoid of any selfish ulterior motive. Okay? That intense desire from the heart to give Krishna pleasure. But lust is the opposite. Lust, we want to gain pleasure ourselves. So the pastimes between Krishna and the gopis are devoid of any sex desire. And Rupa Goswami, he gives the evidence in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He explains that otherwise, how will it be that Lord Chaitanya would have been discussing these pastimes continuously? He was a very strict sannyasi. He wouldn't even let women pay obeisances close to him. He was a very strict sannyasi. So therefore, you think it's good for a sannyasi to be speaking about, you know, loving exchanges between girls and boys and girls? Certainly not. However, he was constantly hearing these pastimes from his very close associates. And again, Sukadeva Goswami, the same example is given. So, it is a very auspicious day for all of us. I don't know if Mayapur something happens special tonight. I know in Vrindavan, that it does. Oh, well, we offer the candles first time. That will be every day. In Vrindavan, I know that often the devotees do parikrama, Govardhan parikrama tonight with the moonshine. It's very nice. I did it last year myself, and it was, the moon is so like nice, so nourishing. You don't want to go to bed. So we can pray today to our spiritual master, our Srila Prabhupada, that we may get the blessings of Radha Damodar. Actually, this month is the month of Damodar, and it's explained that it's not different from Damodar. And it represents the Radharani's appreciation for the intense love of Mother Yashoda for Krishna when she was trying to bind him. So it's a very great opportunity for us to advance in the spiritual life and become better servants. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions or additions?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Nice class. So, I'm having that you told in the Golok Vrindavan there is no sense. No sense. Can you explain? No senses.
No? Exchanges. No, no, yeah, there is exchange, yeah. Of course there is exchange of love. But the point there is that there is no, like, any selfish desire. The gopis are no, there is no expectation. But there is also no expectation there in prema. When you have pure love for Krishna, there is no expectation.
Thank you.
Actually, it explained in the Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion how the devotee, he doesn't want anything from Krishna. Okay? And it's a whole chapter which gives so many different examples of how a devotee, he derives liberation. I mean, liberation and, of course, material enjoyment. He's not concerned with any of this. Right? And it's a very important lesson for us because, you know, if Krishna will come to us like right now and he says, what do you want? What will you say? What do you really want now? You can have it. It's the month of Kartik. I'm very merciful. I'll give it to you whatever you want. So we look within our hearts and what will we ask? Of course, we know the right answer, right? We know it. What is the right answer? Pure devotional service, right? But do we really want it? Do we really want to become an insignificant servant? That Krishna can do whatever he wants with us? You may trample, you may embrace me. Whatever you do, I'm your servant. Do we want this? This is an aspiration. Actually, we don't have any expectations. That Krishna comes to us and he says, you want liberation? No, I don't want it. You want, you know, you want a nice, comfortable life. You want your son to be properly situated. You know, you want this, you want that. You want to have the same features as myself? You want to live in the same planet as I do? These are the four types of liberation, right? The Vaishnava liberation is having the same, you want the same opulence as myself? But we have to learn to say no. I don't want anything. I only want to serve you. And this is not easy. And whenever there is some... I was praying last year. I was praying, you know, please, Krishna, Radha Madhava, you know, make my devotional service firm, make my devotional service steady. And then, how are we going to become steady and firm and sincere? And then Krishna gives you like a big test. That's what he does. Right? And then you get really to see. When the difficulty comes, you really get to see if what you're doing it for Krishna, or you're doing it for yourself. And it's sometimes an eye-opener, this test. But it's very good, because Krishna also, when this difficulty comes, then it is explained also that this is an impetus for the devotee to actually intensify the spiritual practices. Speaking personally, that's the case with me. Whenever, you know, things are going okay, then become a little lax. But when the difficulty comes, then we become a little more intense. So we have to, you know, our goal or our aspiration is to have no expectation from the Lord. And this is why, you know, obviously there is a famous pastime with the gopis, that Krishna had a headache. Right? You know, everybody knows the pastime, right? Yes? So we don't. But basically, what was it? You know, Krishna had a headache, and the only medicine for his headache was the dust of the feet of his devotees. So they went looking for this, and then the devotee was saying, well, if I give the dust of my feet, I'm going to go to hell. But when the gopis, they were approached, immediately they said, yeah, take as much as you want. Even if we go to hell eternally, if that's going to relieve Krishna even a little fraction of a second of his headache, then we'll happily do it. Happily we'll do it. So that's why Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, he says, of all forms of worship, the worship of the gopis is the highest. Vasudev Guru?
Hare Krishna, thank you. This seems to be a little bit of a paradox, which I'm sure you can clarify, because you keep insisting on unmotivated, no expectation. But when the gopis made it to the forest, and they were told by Krishna, this is not proper, I understand your desire, but you should go back home. So the gopis could have got back home, or they could have at least argued that we want to be with you. So didn't the gopis want to be with Krishna? Didn't they have that expectation, that desire that, you know, that they wanted to? Of course, they also wanted to please Krishna, but now he gives his instruction and they won't follow. Then later on also, Krishna disappears. So why can't they just accept that we've had a good time? We've been dancing for some time. You know, Krishna's given us more than he's given us in a long time. Why can't they just focus on the positive, that, wow, you know, let's just meditate on what's happened and for the rest of our lives. But no, instead they go on searching for Krishna. Where is he? As if, you know, this is not enough, I want more. So this is why I'm saying there seems to be a little bit of a paradox. Can you please clarify?
It could also be added that the gopis, they prayed to Goddess Katayani to have Krishna as their husband. So that's also, you know, an expectation. But actually, they wanted to have Krishna as their husband because they also knew... Is it yours or mine? Because they also knew that this was Krishna's desire. And when Krishna also left, you know, you said that they could have become satisfied. Well, we got more than, you know. But actually, the whole purpose of Krishna leaving them was to intensify their desire. Ultimately, for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna enjoys the love of the gopis for him. So when we're saying here expectation, it's not a selfish expectation. That's as far as I can go myself. Maybe someone can add. Matei.
So for Prabhupada's pleasure, we want expectations for our service. We want, like if we preach, we want to please Prabhupada in our preaching. We want to have results in our preaching, so he's pleased.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily our own pleasure that we want people bring in contact with Krishna or make them free from this material world, but to please Prabhupada and Krishna for his pleasure. In that way, isn't that...
Yeah, that's true. But also when these things happen, that it's for Prabhupada, and there is also a danger there sometimes, that we're thinking that it's for Prabhupada, and it's, you know, like, I want to do great service, so it's for Prabhupada. But sometimes there may be also a tinge there that is for us, that we want some recognition from Prabhupada or something. But in the case of the gopis, there is nothing like this. It's completely pure, without any... It's difficult to understand also, because here we're dealing with yoga maya. So yoga maya, what she does, she covers the living entity, but it's not like the covering of Mahamaya. When yoga maya covers the devotees, she does it for the sake of pastime, for the sake of increasing the intimacy between Krishna and the gopis. As it is, we were describing before, that the difference between, you know, the love of the residents of Vaikuntha and the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, there is, you know, the gopis, they may even get upset with Krishna sometimes. Okay? Or they may rebuke him. Or the gopas even. The gopas, they are playing with Krishna, and they sometimes, you know, Krishna is carrying them on their shoulders. Yoga Maya is actually covering them for the sake of increasing the pastime. But in their hearts, there is no, like, any, you know, pinch of selfish desire. It's just pleasing Krishna, and Krishna's happiness is the ultimate. That's how a neophyte as myself can understand this. We have some senior Vaishnavas here. Maybe someone can add something on this? The master group?
There's the anga of vigyapti, of these heartfelt longings of their prayers. And some Prarthanatmika is a prayer on the stage of sadhana, where one is aspiring for a specific service, or aspiring for bhav, to achieve the level of perfection. Like the example that Rupa Goswami gives is that just as young boys are naturally attracted to young girls, and young girls are naturally attracted to young boys, please allow me to develop that attachment in the same spontaneous way. And then the Lala Samayi is a vigyati that's performed on the stage of bhava, when one actually understands his sarup. And in this, there's a request for a specific perfectional, a specific service. But ultimately all of these prayers, all of these longings are to increase Krishna's pleasure, increase our service to Krishna. So in that way there's, you know, this desire to advance, the desire to increase Krishna's pleasure is legitimized, you know, within the parameters of Uttama Bhakti. And it's something that's healthy. And there, you know, we should want that. That's something that goes together with Uttama Bhakti. And so in that way, but it's not selfish, as you're saying. So that distinction's made, you know, between that which is the verse from, was it Adi Lila 5, Atmendriya Priti, I can't think of it now. Where the distinction between lust and love. And that's based upon, you know, the lust is pleasing one's own senses, whereas love is, prema is pleasing the Krishna senses. So that's the key, you know, that's the pivotal distinction.
Very much for a wonderful class. So many nice, you recited the pastime so nicely. And I may be so bold to state the obvious in terms of the question on the topic that was brought up. Prabhupada so kindly helped us become free of the materialistic or the Buddhist, the thoughts of the Buddhist that desirelessness means not having any desire. But the gopis are the perfect example that desirelessness means simply desiring everything for the pleasure of Krishna. In that verse, Anyabhilashita Shunyam, where one's devotional service should be free of all selfish desires and it should be favorable, there's a really interesting purport given by the Acharyas in that regard, that favorable doesn't necessarily even mean that it's pleasing the senses of Krishna. Because Mother Yasoda, who we glorified this month, put Krishna down and really angered him to go take care of the boiling milk that was overflowing. And then on the other side, Mushtika and Chanura, they were giving a real good fight to Krishna and Balaram, and they were really enjoying the fight, but their activity of pleasing the senses of Krishna had nothing to do with pure devotional service. So from my muddled, conditioned mentality, it may be very difficult to appreciate, but it seems that that is the nature of the love that you're trying to describe, that they can't help themselves but just simply want to do everything to please Krishna. That's perfection of desirelessness and pure desire.
If the devotees need to leave, it's already time for everyone to leave. Let her speak.
Just short. If you, I'm looking for a confirmation here because I don't have the source, but an answer that really satisfied me to hear was that when Krishna greeted the gopis in the forest, he told them to go back and they argued with Krishna that how can you ask us to come and then ask us to go back? You here because of you told us to come.
Thank you.
Well, I heard Radhanath Maharaj explaining that when the gopis, they were watching goddess Katyayani to get Krishna as their husband, they knew that Krishna wanted that, and that's why they were praying also, like this. So it was ultimately for Krishna's pleasure. Same. But this that you have spoken.
Can you hear me? Just a couple of points. One was you were saying that Yoga Maya covers the living entity, even the liberated living entities. I was thinking it also covers Krishna.
Correct.
Krishna is known as Mugdha and Sarvagya at the same time. So these pastimes, we can try to understand them philosophically and theoretically, but in a report in the CC, Mr. Prabhupada says that we cannot...
Turn it off.
Whatever the gopi is dead, because the desires are so, there's oneness in desire to the extreme, more than any other devotees of Krishna. So whatever Krishna desires, that's their desire. It's not that they have any separate desire. So when they want him as a husband, or they come to dance with him, it's actually Krishna's desire they're fulfilling. They don't have any separate desire. So actually they cannot be faulted in any sense. Anyway, just a few points.
Thank you. Very nice. Rantarashimad Bhagavatam ki? Kartik Brahat ki? Sila Prabhupada ki?